Hello, it's the podcast again. Shit one. Remember that one? Three blokes who know nothing about football. A Leeds cunt, a Man City cunt, and a Liverpool cunt. Yeah, it's the cunts.
Good name for it.
That's, isn't it? Dave's on his... David is on his way, but Dave Rothney is here right now, and we're going to start talking. What did you say? Was it Pep's interview?
Just the whole last night. I mean, yeah, I'm high on coffee, and it was one of those.
Hang on. So last night is when you came back from Tottenham and beat them 3-2,
four,
is it?
4-2.
4-2, right. Okay, yeah. I don't even know, because, like, not my team, so I haven't had a chance in between croissant and coffee. I've not had a chance to review the papers yet.
Wow, how very London. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, because I said last week, I think, I don't know whether I said it on the podcast or
you did,
off
yes.
air, was that City needed to play like champions, and we didn't against Man United, and it was more the same.
Yeah.
And then we were 2-0 down at half time, 2 goals in 2 minutes, and I, like everybody else, was going, right, here we go. You know, this is everything that we've been talking about. And then we came out in the second half and played, for the first time this season, played like champions.
I caught a headline of it, early doors, that you'd made a comeback. But funnily enough, I was thinking when you lost to Man United, welcome, David. We've started recording without you, but that's because we were desperate to start talking football.
I'm not important.
Oh, bless.
Yes, you
as a Liverpool fan, now, you know, we're sliding down the table, and you know, things. I was just thinking about the good old days of Roy Hodgson and Rafa Benitez.
Don't worry, mate. We're going to get onto the lower leagues in a minute. You just sit tight.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
That's all
just
right.
Pretend I'm not here.
Leeds fan, 17th. Fuck you. So carry on.
And then Pep. So then at the end of the game, you know, it was all like we turned it around, 1-4-2. And I say, first time this season we played like champions. You know, it's like that's what we needed to play like, response. Yeah. And then Pep comes out and everybody's expecting him to say something along the lines of, we did good. Yeah, we did good. And scratch his head. But then he came out and said what I think is completely fair enough. And he said, you know, I don't recognise my team. Yeah, OK, we came back, but we gave away 2 goals. We lack competitiveness. We lack the grit. We lack desire. We lack everything. The fans are too quiet. You know, everybody needs to, we've turned into a happy flower club, and we need to, that must be a Spanish expression, and we need to stop being like that if we want to have any chance of catching Arsenal. That's the summary.
I've got a theory, by the way. We'll come on to it, but finish off, Dave. Yeah.
And he kind of went back to the studio, and Micah Richards said, oh, he's at the end of his tether. And Jamie Carragher, who I don't always agree with, but I thought was spot on, he said, no, it's a brilliant interview. He's basically said, right, come on. This is the moment to galvanise the team. And I think he's right. We have been, we haven't been playing the way that we should be playing. And he said all the reasons, you know, we've won 4 titles in 5 seasons. We're complacent. We, you know, we're just turning up. And I do think that Haaland, I think that's right. I think we signed Haaland and thought, oh, well, here we go. We've signed Haaland. We're just going to win the title now. But, you know.
There's another factor, though, as well. And I apologise if you've heard this before, because I haven't heard it anywhere else. But I think Liverpool struggling has affected Man City.
In what way?
Well, I just think they've been so close over the last few seasons. Your main rival has been Liverpool. And it's like, we've slipped down the table. It's like, oh, where have they gone? Oh, they're looking over the shoulder when they should have been looking over the other shoulder for the likes of Arsenal and even Man United now and Newcastle. I think that's a factor.
Yeah,
from a sports psychology angle, not that I'm a sports psychologist, as you well know, but from a
I think you're right in the sense that, oh, well, if Liverpool aren't doing so well, there's nobody else that's going to come close to us. And I think it's been a gradual wake-up call. But I was quite pleased to see Pep say that. And they said, oh, you can't criticise the fans. It's like, I go to the Etihad and, you know, it's called the empty hat sometimes. It's not empty, but it's pretty quiet. You know, it is quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as a neutral in this, because Dave's decided to insert himself into this, and the closest to Liverpool are going to get to a trophy is being responsible for Man City not winning the league.
Yeah.
It's funny you should say that, but I want to pick up at like the empty had. Also, Napoli fans absolutely battered Liverpool fans when Napoli played there. I mean, there's loads of, go on social media, there's tons of videos of Napoli fans just filming the stadium saying, where's your atmosphere?
Yeah.
Where's the famous atmosphere? Because you sang We'll Never Walk Alone at the beginning, you waved your flags, and you've been quiet for half an hour. No one said shit. And Liverpool are getting away with that. The flags and all that shit at the beginning. But you know, we've all got the same problem, and we'll get it when the 49ers take over in the summer. We're gonna knock down each stand one by one and rebuild. So in 4 or 5 years' time, that stadium will be in the same place, but it'll be completely different. And you start gentrifying, you start attracting fans who don't cheer, who don't get into it, who are there for the occasion. And the bigger you get, the bigger percentage of fans you are going to have on a match day who have a passing interest in the game. And they're there for other reasons. And, you know, this all plays into match day revenue, and that is important. It's not the be-all and end-all with, you know, TV rights, but it is important. And this is something that we are all going to suffer from. And funnily enough, you know, the game at Leeds this week against Cardiff, and, you know, the commentators constantly going on about what a great atmosphere it is and all the rest of it. And I was thinking, yeah, but it's not always going to be like that, is it? Because once eventually that stadium is new, it won't be the same. And then I thought, hang on, no, it will be the same, because it's in the same place and it's the people that make the atmosphere, not the ground. And then I thought, oh, shit, yeah, there'll be 15,000 people in there who aren't in there now who won't really give a fuck.
Mm. Yeah, but I do think from the city, I totally agree with that, by the way. But I also think on a city level, and I'm guilty of this, we have become spoiled. Guardiola's right. I've been to games when we're all sitting there going, okay, so when are we going to score? You know, it's almost, you know, it's to my shame, really. So they're going, yeah, this is good, but, you know, why aren't we 3-0 up? Because, you know, because that's what we've been used to. We have been spoiled. He's right.
So you think it's an entitlement issue?
I think what he said in his interview was absolutely spot on. We've had years of, and it's about how do you, and it's the question that he's never had to face before, and he's doing it at City, which is how do you regenerate a team? How do you take a team that's won a lot and make them desire to keep winning? You know, and Guardiola historically has done 2 or 3 seasons, been brilliant. And at City, he's doing something, he's in the middle of doing something potentially, which will be, you know, the pinnacle of his career, which is kind of create 2 or 3 teams a la Ferguson. But we shall see. It's interesting, you know.
Yeah, it is. Now, if you're listening and thinking, I hope they are going to do the shithouses 11.
We are.
Because that's why. Yeah, don't worry. We're just getting our football out. So we beat Cardiff 5-2 this week, and which was great because you know, conceded our customary 2 goals. I tell you what though, we're going to batter them in the Championship next season. stolen from the square ball, but. It honestly, genuinely felt like a watershed moment. It felt like a reset. And to be honest, it needs to be, because I think any manager who is coming into the 11th month of his reign, who is still regularly saying in press conferences that the team, you know, that it still hasn't got to where he wants it to be yet, or all of these odds and ends, and stuff like that, it just makes you think, like, well, how long do you want? At the beginning of the match against Cardiff, Matthias Klick was... well, for a start, there was horrific traffic before the game. And Matthias Klick, the purveyor of... the sole purveyor of Klickhousery, was stuck in traffic. And funnily enough, a few fans mentioned they'd seen him stuck in traffic. He was just going to the game. That was it. He was just going to the game, but the club found out that he was coming to the game, that he was going to be there, because some friends had got him a ticket, said they got a spare ticket, and he didn't expect to be around because obviously he's moving to the States. And he was like, oh, no, it's, you know, I'll go. And the club heard and said, look, come on, you know, it's a full house tonight. You've got to get out on that pitch and get the acclaim you deserve. And he did. He went out there and took the applause, and it was awesome. It was awesome. Now there's a clip on ITV socials, which is brilliant because they've absolutely completely missed what actually happened, and they filmed from behind. They filmed without clicking the picture, and they filmed the tunnel where Stuart Dallas and Liam Cooper can be seen smiling, applauding, and pointing at the away fans. Now, when you see it from the other side, what you see is Click walking towards the tunnel, and you can hear the Cardiff fans just giving him a little bit of stick, and he just gives them the finger.
Yeah.
Because guess what, FA? I ain't fucking registered with you anymore. There's nothing you can do whatsoever.
Yeah.
And he was just absolute class. It's like, and with a big smile on his face, just give him the finger. Mm. You know,
no disrepute charges to worry about. Yeah.
No. And it kind of rolls over into obviously Clickhousery rolls over into shithousery. And one point that I really liked that I heard somebody make about Click is that in all of his shithousing, whether it's pouring water down another player's back and then just walking off like nothing's happened, shushing an opponent's manager while sat in front of the bench, like pulling his socks up, a fan wrote a big email criticizing him. And he and Click's reply, and the guy was called Bob, and Click's reply was "fuck off, Bob." So the point I was going to make is the beauty of it is that whatever he does, the intention is to wind somebody up needlessly, meanlessly, bit by bit, bit by bit, bit. But he never invests in it, ever. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's an important part of shithousery. Do you know what I mean? Like, basically, nothing sticks to them.
First of all, that was a great segue there. I have to compliment you on that as the host of this podcast. We went from Leeds' reboot into Clickhousery, into shithousery. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Total podcasting. But you jumped in there to the uninitiated, and it's almost like saying who's the best player of all time, and you've immediately started talking about Messi. So just to sort of set the context here of Matthias Click, give me some sort of your top three examples. I mean, you've put a lot in there already, but
yeah.
So what makes Matthias Click? Let's start with him as a shithouser, and what are some of the kind of things he's done?
If you look at any Premier League game this season where he's come on as a sub, and it's, this is not like a kind of top three, but a kind of like a rounding up. You look at any game, he's come on as sub in most games in the Premier League this season. And as soon as he comes on, straight away, it's an opposition throw. In that he goes to hand the player the ball, and just as they're about to get there, he just drops it on the floor or puts it on the floor. And then rolls it away or gives it to a ball boy and just laughs.
Yeah.
You know, and prime example was when there was a Leeds player and an opposition player rowing, and Click just walked behind it all, and with a water bottle, just poured a little bit of water down the back of the player's neck, the opposition player's neck, and just carried on. And of course, this player turns around straight away, freezing cold water down his back. He's angry. He's in the middle of a row. He turns around. He looks around. Nobody there. Absolutely steaming. Clicks just walks off like nothing's happened. He turns around to carry on the row. The Leeds player he was rowing with has walked off whilst this is going on. So you've just got this opposition player like in the middle of the pitch who just looks like a complete total knob. And you get the feeling with Click as well. He's like, he's not even trying to get anybody sent off. He is literally just trying to wind you up. He is just going to be like, oh, you know, do you want the ball? Yeah, yeah, it's over there. You know, yeah. it's all the time.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly the doyen of shithousery, and what he seems to have is a great sense of humour. It's funny, those stories you're telling me. I mean, it's not all shithousery is funny, is it? I mean, a lot of shithousery is bad behaviour. I just want to tell one story from the world of cricket before we crack into the shithousery. This is an example of shithousery. Steve Waugh, the great Australian cricket captain and batsman, when he was 12 years old, This is a great story. When he was 12 years old, he was playing for a school team, and he went out for the toss against his other, the 12-year-old opponent. And they tossed a coin. Steve Waugh called heads. It landed heads. He turned round to his 12-year-old and said, "Yous cunts can bat," and walked off.
Fucking hell.
12-year-old boy. And, you know, that was, I mean, that's kind of, that shows shithousery, that shows competitive kind of, you know, and it's so it's all wrapped up in that. But kind of to just go back, so shithousery, it seems like diving, isn't it? And you know, Simeone and Beckham, that was that, you know, so let's define our terms and then jump in.
I disagree. I don't think shithousing is necessarily cheating, as the examples I've given already. The other thing is the other important thing, and why I particularly like Click and why he's a particularly good exponent of shithousery or clickhousery, depending on what you want to refer it to, is that he doesn't take it seriously. Poured water down, poured water down the back of your head, ha ha. So, and doesn't get wound up, is not invested in it at all. Somebody bites or someone bites or they don't, whatever. I'm doing this regardless.
Yeah, just getting in the head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's almost not. Do you know? It's almost like he's amusing himself.
Yeah.
And it's just who he is. That's why you know, when interviewed and said like, what would you be if you weren't a footballer? And he said, I'd be a graffiti artist and I'd probably be in jail.
Nice.
So you know, he's just not a normal kind of guy. You know, he's the kind of guy that head media officer of head press officer at a football club absolutely fucking dreads, you know, because they cannot be controlled. They cannot be given a narrative. They cannot be told to toe the party line because they do what the fuck they like. And the weird thing is there are some players, Roy Keane was another, there are those players where you do think they kind of do what the fuck they like.
What's that? Do you remember the film Pumping Iron? Have you ever seen it? You know, the bodybuilding film.
I'm aware of it. I've never watched it.
Lou Ferrigno and stuff. So there's a moment, I can't remember the bodybuilders, but one of them's a bit sort of precious and he's got this little towel, and one of his opponents in the contest, they're about to do a pose off, he just hides his towel and he's like going, and then the guy's like losing it. He's about to go out and pose and he's just like, oh, he just goes to pieces when he's doing his pose down. So that's kind of shithousery.
Yeah,
it's like,
absolutely.
It's little practical jokes, a little bit nasty, but not, you know, nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to get injured.
Well, I mean, I think from a shithousing point of view, if personally we're putting Matthias Klick in the midfield, I'm going to go for another player to sit alongside him in the midfield who I think would complement him beautifully. A very different character. Dennis Wise.
Yes. Yeah.
Dennis Wise and Matt Click in the middle. Dennis Wise, who famously ripping Nicky Butt's armpit hair out whilst appearing to help him up. Nicky Butt then looks like a complete wanker for pushing Wise off and nearly punching him, and the ref sends him off.
So would you throw in Vinnie Jones's cupping of Paul Gascoigne's genitals, the famous photo? Is that shithousery?
The thing is, I think shithousery, like Click's examples, like the Wise example, I think the best shithousery is subtle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Is that not subtle then? Cupping his bollocks.
Well, given they're still buy posters of it, I don't know how subtle that was. You've got the dictionary definition there, haven't you, Rothers?
Exactly that.
Let's over to Dictionary Corner.
Dave,
I believe you've got the actual meaning there.
Well, it won't surprise you. Tony Crowley produced the Liverpool English Dictionary and traces the term shithousery back to scouse slang used in the 1960s.
Hang on, did every word translate back to scouse in that fucking book?
The concise new Partridge Dictionary of Slang, I don't think it's Alan Partridge, has an entry for shithouse with definitions, an extremely unpleasant individual and a coward. And then this is an article in The Guardian, which refers to Portugal's Pepe as the Mozart of shithousery. This is a game against Morocco in 2018, I think. After aggressively challenging Mehdi Benatia at a corner, the Portugal defender flung himself to the turf when Benatia then tapped him on his back to remonstrate. If that were not enough, Pepe then leapt to his feet and squared up to his Moroccan opponent. That's high-level shithousery. But what we're talking about, that's what I mean, that's the kind of nasty side of it. We're talking about, I'm asking about Click. He's almost in the category of his own. because he does it with humour and lightness. And as we are picking the ultimate shithouse re-11, Click is the captain and he's in midfield. But I think we can have a blend of the kind of the nice, fun stuff as well as that. I think there is an edge to it. And I think you're right about Dennis Wise. So does Vinnie Jones go in there? I don't know, but I think Gasser was a bit of a shithouser, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he had that kind of playfulness to him, didn't he, with his shithousing. I imagine he was always, certainly in the dressing room, he was full of it. I don't know about on the pitch, but yeah.
Well, so. Yeah. Now, well, he famously got booked for booking a referee, didn't he? The ref dropped his cards. So he booked him and then the ref booked him, which is like, you know, classic refereeing, humorless fucking idiots. But I think you're right. I think Gazza, if we want to put some skill in this team,
yeah,
because at the moment it's Click and Wise, and don't get me wrong, two international midfielders, both very good midfielders in very different ways. But if we actually want to win some games, and instead of just like wind up the opposition, and if we want to win some games in another manner than we're playing against seven men, because we've managed to get four of them sent off.
Mm.
Back to front then. Who's our goalkeeper?
Well, I'm going to put Grobbelaar, somebody like Grobbelaar maybe, or...
what about, from recent memory, Martinez in the World Cup final? The penalty shootout.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna say that is up there, and I think I might have mentioned on a previous podcast the Australian goalkeeper who was brought on for the penalty shootout that qualified Australia for the World Cup. And it was in the World Cup playoff, and I can't remember who it was against. He was brought on specifically for the penalty shootout, so he's brought on with, like, you know, 1 minute to go of extra time. One of the first things he did was the opposition goalkeeper had done the old loads of information written on the water bottle trick, and he went over and picked it up and threw it into the crowd.
Brilliant.
Nice.
Now, I think that's next level shit.
That is. Yeah, that's
funny. It's annoying. It's a wind up. But ultimately, as well, it's a head fuck. It's gamesmanship. Yeah. And there's a World Cup at stake. There's a place in a World Cup at stake.
Yeah. Your head's gone after somebody does that to you.
That's total shithousery.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he celebrates his saves like a fucking. He's personally won the World Cup.
What's his name?
Don't know.
So are we, you by saying total shithousery, are we assuming there's a spectrum of shithousery?
There's a spectrum to everything, isn't there?
Click has kind of defined his own category, clickhousery, which is shithousery.
So that's a 10. That's a 10 on the on the shithouse spectrum.
So we've got this unnamed Australian goalkeeper.
I will try and find out who that is.
Speak to the research department.
I will.
So then we go through. Well, I think front to back. Stuart Pearce, was he shithouser?
Are we just naming players who we know and then trying to apply shithousery to them?
No, because there's a bit of a crossover, because he was in the Cloggers 11, wasn't he? What was the 11 we did with of quite violent players? What was that 11 called? Was that Cloggers? I think it was. There's an element of crossover here, isn't there? Because people that are kind of get stuck in on the pitch.
I don't think he was a shithouse, was he?
No.
He was a very serious player. He was, you know, committed and aggressive, and I don't think he was a shithouse. Don't recall anything from him.
No. Well, let's stick Vinnie Jones in the midfield as well. Then we've got Vinnie Jones, Dennis Wise, Gazza and Click.
Didn't we say, well, I was certainly making a case saying Vinnie Jones was not a shithouser. He was just a fucking brutal. He was just a brutal cunt. If you put Vinnie Jones in, you put Steve McMahon in, the whole thing's ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
So, it's who's playful? Do you know what I mean? Mm. I know it's biased with Leeds, but somebody who was always an excellent shithouser was Gordon Strachan.
Yes.
I mean, you know, have you got time for a quick word, Gordon? Velocity.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
brilliant.
And he used to, by the way, our goalkeeper is Andrew Redmayne. I mean, I know okay. he sounds like an Oscar-winning actor, but yeah,
that's so good.
Yeah, or as his mates call him, Andy, or as his other mates call him, Redders, or his other mates call him, Wayne.
That's great. So Gordon Strachan, yeah, that's a good shout.
I mean, he was a bit of, he was certainly, you know, wind people up. That's for sure. Hmm. But we had moved in. We had moved into defence, and it's a weird one. So we've got Andrew Redmayne in goal,
mm-hmm.
right? Across the back four, are we playing a back four? Presume we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it depends who the opposition is, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
if we're up against one of our other 11s, then, you know, we'll obviously rejig it.
Yeah. I think it's too early for tactics. Yeah.
Yeah. In defence, this is a tough one because you've got to be careful about your shithousery in defence. You know, you don't want to be doing it in the box and someone taking a view on it, you know. But you've got to kind of get your digs in as well. Have we got any candidates for the back four that spring to mind? No.
Robbie Fowler's mocking of Everton fans when he snorted the line on the pitch.
That's an excellent example, but I've got to be honest, I fear for this team if we're playing Robbie Fowler in the back four.
No, I'm just saying I'd move to the front because I can't think of anyone at the back at the moment.
All right, just get our brains going.
Well, write it down. That's shithousery, isn't it?
Write it down for later, yeah.
No, I think I agree, but yeah.
Well, if you're talking about strikers, then surely Suarez is a shithouser. I mean, surely.
Oh, fucking hell.
I mean, you know.
Apart from the biting, because obviously shithousing shouldn't get you sent off. But... Yeah. But another classic click as well was being at Derby and giving it the Spygate specs.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Ian Wright had a little shithousing streak in him. Remember the time he mocked the referee falling over and stuff.
yeah. No, he always had a bit of a sense of humour. Oh, do you know what?
Yeah.
And do you know what you've done? You've triggered the kingpin centre back for me.
Go on.
Well, it's got to be Ruddock, hasn't it? Razor Ruddock. I mean, he was. I mean, whenever Liverpool played Man U in that era, Ruddock used to go up and he used to take Cancelo's collar down, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Every time you just said back. Razor Ruddock. Sorry, that's brilliant. What a brilliant shout! Yeah, definitely.
Well, it was Dave went Ian Wright, and for some reason, Ian Wright and Ruddock together at West Ham. Did a piss take celebration, I think. But also, and Ruddock has got, like, you know, proper form for all sorts of shithousery. But I remember him, I don't know if it's an interview or I read his autobiography because I'm that sad. But he said he was at Old Trafford and he'd like spent the whole game doing that and winding Cantona up. He said he was stood in the bar afterwards and he suddenly felt this sort of boot up his arse. And he turned round and it was Cantona with a big smile on his face who just went, beer? and gave him a beer.
Shithouser.
Good. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Good.
Just like, but exactly that. That's prime shithouse. That is. Yeah. That yeah. is like annoy somebody all the way through the game. Then they yeah. buy you a beer afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Great was shout. That
before or after he kung fu kicked the Crystal Palace fan?
One less Crystal Palace fan in the world. I can't believe it even went to court. So if we've got Ruddock in there, I tell you what.
Oh, hang on, sticking with Cantona because the way he'd celebrate a goal, hands on the hips, collar up, and he just
only did it once.
Who was that against?
Sunderland Chip.
Yeah.
And it was also against Sunderland's shit goalkeeper and Sunderland's shit team.
That was a shithouse response for scoring a goal.
True, but, you know, shit goal. And to quote an Australian phrase, Eric Cantona, he's a shit cunt, mate. I know. the Aussies really have got a hold of the English language and done something completely different with it. Yeah. I was going to mention Martin Keown, because I'm just thinking about that. I'm thinking about that jumping all over Van Nistelrooy after he missed the penalty.
Oh, like, gosh, yeah.
I mean, that was iconic. I was going out with a girl who's a Man United fan back then, and like we had a big row, and she was like, oh no, you know, it's not fair that you gang up on Man United when everyone's together. I'm like, I've been supporting Leeds since I was a child, and if/when we split up, I will still be supporting Leeds. So whilst we're together, I'm not putting a fucking pause on it or dialing it down for you.
Like how you predicted the end of the relationship.
Yeah.
Very romantic.
Probably started it there.
Lasted as long as Clough did at Leeds.
That's it.
That in itself is a shithouse line. Once we've split up, I'll still be a Leeds fan.
I started the ticking time bomb on that one.
Yeah, Keogh's a good shout.
What do we think? Because the thing is, also, don't forget, don't be dissuaded by the fact that we're used to the dry jeans and shirt wearing scabby pundit Keown. You know, we've seen a lot of years of the pundit of Keown, and you're apt to forget what a sort of shithousing.
Yeah, the smooth articulate version that we see. Yeah, because he is, isn't he?
But also, he was also a prime. He was always used as a man marker. Yeah. Now, and I think that qualifies you as a shithouse as well. It's like, you know, if the manager walks into the dressing room and goes, right, we need a man marker for this game, and everybody turns around and looks at you, you're a shithouse. And you know, whenever the Arsenal of that time, Keown was often deployed as a man marker. So I'd be happy to put him in if you guys are.
Yeah, I was on that of that vintage. I was going to suggest Gary Neville.
When
it comes to
Shop Steward.
Yeah, well, it comes to some of those games at Anfield. I mean, I have particular memories of him baiting or reveling.
Well, he ran the full length of the pitch. Do you remember
that?
It was
that? Old Trafford.
That was at Old Trafford, yeah. Where he ran the full length of the pitch to taunt Liverpool fans.
Yeah, and also I remember when...
I like him now, actually.
I'm not saying you can like a shithouse. These are all I like Ruddock, I like Click, I like Gazza. You know, it's fine. Likeability is actually one of the things that seem to be coming out here. But Neville, because I do remember when they won the FA Cup. I can't remember who it was, but it was a year when Newcastle with the Keegan meltdown. And 96. I remember as United won the FA Cup that season as well, at the end of the FA Cup when they were going round, parading the trophy around the inside of Wembley, all the United fans were singing the Cheer Up Kevin Keegan song. And Gary Neville joined in with it. And I just thought that was quite a bit of shithousery that you're basically... Newcastle weren't even playing in that game, but you're joining with your fans slagging off Newcastle.
That is class. And that reminds me of the Arsenal FA Cup bus journey around North London after they won the FA Cup. Jack Wilshere, he was given the mic to sort of like, you know, thank the fans and all the rest of it. Jack had his own plans. Jack started a round of, my old man said, be a Tottenham fan. I'll say, fuck off, bollocks, you're a cunt.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like you could see like all the club officials on the top deck just putting their heads in their hands going, oh, fuck me, how are we going to manage this?
Yeah.
I mean, I love that. It's like Calvin Phillips on the bus stop celebration after we got promoted. They gave the mic to Calvin. They said, Calvin, is there anything you want to say? And he just went, yeah. Leeds are falling apart again.
but you sparked something there. Talking about running the full length of the pitch. Mm. Emmanuel Adebayor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a one-off piece of shithousery, but shithousery it was. When there was an acrimonious kind of transfer. When City... When we first got the petrodollars from the human rights abusers,
and you bought any player that Arsenal didn't want anymore.
Well, we basically bought Arsenal's B team. And so Clichy and Nasri. Nasri. God, yeah. And so Adebayor, Mark Hughes' manager, we always used to lose to Arsenal every, I mean, throughout my life, Arsenal beat us every single game. Then we beat them at Vetiad, 4-2, I think it was, but it was a great performance. And Adebayor scored against his old club. Now, there's two ways that this goes. If you leave Akramona, so you can celebrate. Or normally, people don't like to celebrate. Or you can do the new thing, which Emmanuel Adebayor did, which was just run. He was at the other end. He scored at the City end. Then he ran the full length of the pitch to the Arsenal fans and did a knee slide in front of them. A completely unnecessary piece of shithousery.
It's nasty, that.
Yes.
Well, it is nasty, but it's also quite funny. I mean, that's the thing, because if you've gone to that...
It is funny, yeah.
You know, there's an element of humour there. I mean, yeah. I don't think Adebayor was particularly liked by any of his teammates, any of the clubs he was at. But
it was fairly acrimonious, his departure, wasn't it, from Arsenal? So
I don't even know if it was. Yeah, I think it was.
It was a bit messy, wasn't it?
He certainly stoked it up with that behaviour. Yeah. So I would put him forward as a potential shithouser.
Well, I think if you throw in the fact that he also played, he ended up playing for Tottenham.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, throw that in as well.
Case closed.
Yeah. So we've got Robbie Fowler and Emmanuel Adebayor up front, and it's nice. I was going to say this is a bit sort of UK centric, but let's say, you know, it's player. Well, it's actually it's not, is it? We had old Andrew Redmayne at the back there.
What happened to Suarez? I thought we had Suarez.
Well, we're going to debate on Suarez. See, I think he was a shithouse because, you know, but he's got. Yes, I mean, he winds players up, doesn't he?
Yeah. Do you know what? I've got another word to describe Suarez. It's not shithouser, it's Uruguayan.
Right.
he's done, that's it. I mean it's genuinely the whole football culture in, you know, in Latin America and South America is just fucking get away with what absolutely everything you can, and if it means stepping over the line, doesn't fucking matter. I mean, I will give voice to this, otherwise it's not just, you know, lazy casual racism.
It's well thought out, just racism.
Well, actually, no, it's cultural because Suarez is revered and loved and championed for handballing the goal on the line and saving and getting and basically being part of Uruguay. He's seen as a hero. Over here, we'd be like, well, we got through, but I'm really not sure about that. Yeah. That kind of behaviour. That kind of behaviour belongs on the battlefield, not on the football field.
Yeah.
I mean, that man should be drummed out of his club.
Yeah, I mean, handball goals, I mean, Maradona, but that's not shithousery. That was just cheating, I suppose. But yes. Yeah, I mean, you're right, Suarez. I don't know. Yeah, okay, well, we can park Suarez. We can maybe put him on the bench and give him a three-match ban. But I always felt that he kind of wound up the opposition, and with that Patrice Evra thing, it kind of...
Yeah, but that, again, it's just fucking... It's not shithousing, is it? It's just being a fucking racist, being a dick, being a cop.
Yeah, true. Yeah, okay. Well argued.
Also, we did say that shithousery, the idea is, if you're the shithouser, well, either A, no one notices, or B, start something that doesn't affect them, it ends up affecting other people. And, you know, being banned for X amount of games just ain't big, ain't clever, and, you know, and being a racist is being a dick as well. So
okay, so we'll just recap where we are. We've got Redmayne in goal. At the back at the moment, we've got Keown, Ruddock and Neville. In mid up front we've got Fowler and Adebayor. Midfield we've got Gazza, Click, Wise and Strachan.
Oh, we've put Strachan in there, have we? We've put Strax in there.
Well, this is in pencil at the moment, but I mean, so we're kind of looking for another shithousing centre back to partner with.
We've got him. We've got Martin Keown.
Oh, is he a centre back? That's true. Okay, yeah. So we need we've got Neville at left back. Or was Neville right back? I don't know.
He was right back.
So a shithousing left back potentially.
Well, that's I mean, Cashley Cole doesn't really work.
I was thinking of Ashley, but he was too good.
And the thing I'm having suggested Gordon Strachan, and he's a wit and all the rest of it, but actually, he scored, and believe you me, I've looked for it, but I can't find it anywhere. He scored a penalty, which is the most shithousing penalty I've ever fucking seen. And I've tried it myself and ended up looking like a cunt. Basically, you stand back. The ref blew the whistle. Strachan walked towards the ball, motioned to bend down as if to pick it up. And as he did that, kicked it. And the keeper was just stood there thinking, oh, he's going to pick that. Oh, it's fucking in. What, eh?
Oh, that, what happened there?
Yeah, that's quality. Brilliant.
That's shit. Yeah, that's shit.
That's a fucking goal.
Yeah.
That's how to shit house yourself a goal.
Well, on that note now, we're now you know, you're sparking ideas all over the shop. So Mario Balotelli. I don't know whether he was just a prankster or a shithouser. Because the goal he scored against Bolton, which we talked about a lot on this, when he shouldered it into the, he shrugged it into the net. But I don't know whether he's a shithouser or whether he was just a prankster. I mean, I don't know what he did on the pitch to kind of upset opponents. I mean, that's kind of quite shithousery-esque, though, isn't it? There's just shrugging into the ball into the open goal. That's kind of showing a little bit of disregard. But it's not really, nobody's losing as a result, I suppose. Not like there's no trickery there. So maybe.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like an accidental. Accidental shithousery. I think he's a prankster.
And I think
you know, if his prank is like falls into shithousery, then so be it. But it's not something that, like,
no, you're right.
I don't think he's automatically a shithouser.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so we've got our midfield. We need a left back. And I'm just casting my mind around for this. I'm not about to say anything insightful, so somebody feel free to bail me out. I've just many questions. What about Newcastle and Everton? Two clubs that they must have had shithouses in them. Just Geordies. There must be Geordie shithouses.
Oh yeah. There's all sorts, isn't there? The thing is, it's also a case of, like, you know, where you draw the line between sort of prankster and. Mm. You know, actual full-on fucking shithouser.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think we're falling more on the side of prankster, aren't we? Which is good, I think, because otherwise you get some pretty nasty individuals in your team. Any other thoughts, boy? I mean, at the moment we've got. I mean, maybe this is fitting that this is a team of 10 players because they're shithousers. So we've only got. So one of them's been sent off. So anyway, so you have to start the game with 10. Because you're a bunch of shithouses anyway, and you're going to get one of them sent off. So, you know, it's level playing field.
Yeah.
No, that's.
I'll buy that.
But that's something else as well. If you think about it, we've gone a bit big time with this, haven't we? Yeah. We've gone a bit like, you know, like it's almost like we're picking from the Premier League or, you know, only or the top division. Yeah. There's got to be some amazing shithouses that we don't know about.
Oh yeah, of course.
That we've left out.
Well, maybe the listeners can give us some ideas.
Yeah, reach out to our lack of social media.
Drop your comments below.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to say earlier, if somebody can find the clip of that Gordon Strachan penalty, I'd love to see it again.
Yeah, I'll speak to the archive department.
That's it, yeah. No way of contacting us. Who cares? Yeah. Who fucking cares? By the way, just on a complete aside, on a complete tangent, I heard a question this morning and I just need to establish if it was just an invented question and it's not really a thing. Because that's what it sounds like to me. It was Chris Eubank, son of Chris Eubank, being interviewed about and just being asked questions like, you know, this or this, you know, blah, blah, blah. And said, do you put your cereal or your milk in the bowl first? And Eubank said quite correctly, in my opinion, anybody who puts the milk in the bowl first is a murderer.
Okay.
Is that really a thing?
Well, you've got someone who doesn't understand physics and displacement if you put the milk in first.
I've got a late-breaking suggestion on topic to fill out. I mean, he's not a, he's another centre back, but it's a defender, and it's Rudiger.
It's who?
Rudiger.
Rudiger. Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice one.
I mean, he's great, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's one of those Rudiger. You hate him when he's not on your team, but you love him.
Yeah.
Champions League final when he dismembered Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, that was, you know.
Yeah.
But he didn't get booked. Didn't nothing. No.
Just yes. Kind of,
you know, just his jaw. There you go. And then smiled at him. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Oh, we've only left out. What's his name? Shithousing Charlie at the back. Real Madrid, long hair.
Yeah, but he didn't play in pro. Yeah, no, of course him.
Yeah. So who's our?
Him. Yeah.
Who's our shithouse manager?
Well, see, I just want to make just one. I want to get this story in before we finish. Was well, Diego Simeone would be my top bet. But there's a couple of things here. So I would have told you this story a million times before. But I'm going to tell it again. So obviously we all know about this, where Jose Mourinho was Porto manager. They beat Man United at Old Trafford. Mourinho did the knee slide down the pitch. And then obviously later on, when he came back to Chelsea for the second time, and Atletico Madrid knocked Chelsea out of the Champions League game at Stamford Bridge, Simeone knee slid past Mourinho in the dugout. And Mourinho gave him a nod as if to say, "You wanker," but that's good. That's good. So I'll kind of put Simeone in there. But just on the Mourinho story, because there was the assistant manager of Barcelona, Tito Villanova, when there was that really bad rivalry between Barcelona and Real Madrid, when Guardiola and Mourinho were opposing managers. In one of the games, Tito kind of veered into Mourinho's technical area. And Mourinho poked him in the eye, like, you know, badly, like an act of assault, basically.
Yeah.
And he got into shit for it, and quite rightly. And then fast forward to sort of about, I can't remember how many years later, but it was kind of maybe a year later or something, and they were playing Atletico Madrid. And Mourinho veered into Simeone's technical area, and Simeone just walked over to him and said, "I'm not Tito. If you put your foot in here, I will fucking kill you." And Mourinho just took a step back.
Nice.
So nice. I think
Simeone's our man.
There are some other shouts that we've also got. I've got to regale you, and I'm sure I've told you this before. The Alf Ramsey. Arriving with the England team as world champions, arriving in Scotland at Glasgow Airport, and is greeted by a member of the customs team there, who said, "Hello, Mr. Ramsey, welcome to Scotland." To which Alf Ramsey replied, "Fuck off." When the media started knocking on his door the day after we won the World Cup, so we won the World Cup on a Saturday. On the Sunday, the media knocked on his door, and they said, "Mr. Ramsey, can we have some quotes?" And he went, and he looked at them all and went, "It's Sunday, it's my day off," and shut the door.
That's great. The only thing I'd say about Simeone is obviously not a Premier League manager. I mean, are we overlooking it? It was thousands of them, right? I mean, the greats like Shankly, Clough. I mean,
he sprung to mind immediately. Clough.
I mean, Brian Clough is probably the ultimate. I mean, he's the ultimate, isn't he? Really? Sounds,
yeah.
I know it's not for the younger listeners, but there aren't any of them.
But also, your other Mourinho example of shithousery, which I thought, I mean, this is next level. Wenger, expert in failure.
Yeah, I mean, Mourinho's nasty, though. I mean, he's quite funny, but he's quite nasty. He doesn't mind kind of sticking the boot in, does he? I suppose that's shithousery.
Yeah.
I mean, Simeone's...
Yeah, shithousery, sticking the boot in when no one's looking and not getting caught for it.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe it's a bit obvious him saying that. I don't know. Well, look, guys, you know, if you're listening, have fun with the game. Why not
smash a like?
Yeah, why not make up your own shithousing 11 and shove it up your ass, because we're not interested.
Right, before we finish, I'll just read you the final shithousing 11.
Yes.
Redmayne in goal. We've got
Andrew, not Eddie.
Andrew Redmayne, we've got sort of three centre-backs. So we've got a Pep Guardiola-style defence because we've got three centre-backs. We've got Keown, Ruddock, Rudiger, and then Neville, presumably, tucking into midfield. And then in midfield, we've got Gazza, Click, Wise, and Strachan. Up
Brilliant.
top, we've got Fowler and Adebayor.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, I
I.
might. Diego Costa would be my only other suggestion,
Oh, I think
but
he
maybe.
walks. I know. I think he walks in front of either of
Yeah.
those two. And do you know what? I'd go
Yeah.
Costa Balotelli myself.
Okay,
And
cool.
now I
Yeah.
did say
Yeah.
Balotelli was a prankster, but that's even more, and it, but when his prankster falls into shithousery, that's a perfect description of it. Do you know what I mean? It's just
Yeah.
him being him.
Oh, yeah. And did you see that goal he scored recently? He's playing in France now, isn't he,
Rabona,
Balotelli?
was it?
It was a real kind of, yeah, that was shithousery. It was a shithousery goal. He basically was dribbling and just taking the piss, which, that's shithousery, isn't it? When you kind of take the piss with your
Yes.
skill.
Well, I can't remember who the player was, but they ran and they juggled the ball and they carried it on their nose for a little bit.
Oh, right, yeah. You
And
just kick them.
they got booked. Oh, they got
Yeah,
booked.
right. Yeah, no, I think that's a late, because I think Robbie Fowler, I mean, I love Robbie Fowler, and I don't think he was a full shithouser. I think we've
Unless you
got
were Graham
Costa and
Lasso.
Balotelli. Yeah, that's true, but then, yeah, that's pretty shit, isn't it? So yeah, I think
Yeah.
Costa and Balotelli, great shout. So I'll just finally recap. So Costa, Balotelli up front, Gazza, Click, Wise, Strachan, Neville, Rudiger, Ruddock, Keown, and then Andrew Redmayne in goal. That's great.
Can you imagine if we had Eddie Redmayne? Oh, boys.
Yeah.
Oh, boys, we need to move up. This offside trap will not work unless you move up quickly.
Next week it's our Etonian 11, which will be that'll be tricky, but brilliant.
Redmayne in goal again.
Yeah.
Boris Johnson as manager, yeah. Taking us down. So, guys, next week we'll do an 11 of some other form of 11. Maybe
Yeah.
a prankster 11. Oh, no, because it's just going to be
That's
11
too
Balotelli, isn't
shithousery.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and also it'd be just be really difficult. Anywho,
Yeah.
whatever it is, we'll figure it out during the week, and we'll be back here next week to put together another 11 of players who have some vague personality trait in common with each other. That's about it. So, thank you as always, Man City fan Dave Rothney,
Cheers, pleasure.
and my Liverpool supporting friend David Klein.
Good to see you.
I'm Howard H. Smith. I'm Leeds scum, by the way.
Who are you playing at the weekend? Finally, lads. We've got Wolves. Liverpool, are you
Chelsea.
playing? Oh,
Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah. Leeds.
We've got up the bees. We've got Brentford.
Oh, it's good.
Ooh.
Okay, so
I know.
quite a tasty weekend ahead. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And you.